This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
How does he do it? How does he keep pulling off these wins? Seemingly, I don't know. I can't say out of nowhere, but Steph Curry was excellent again last night. Didn't start off the game well. Did not start off the game well. Missed seven of his first eight shots, but eventually took the Warriors home in what was a blowout game seven on an opponent's home court in the Houston Rockets. And Pearl, the Golden State Warriors are moving on. We're asking, is Steph Curry having a better post-35 playing career, than LeBron James? Age 35, this late career, how these guys have both found the fountain of youth in a lot of ways, but Curry is still playing and LeBron James is home.
Well, I mean, how does he do it? They were favored in the series. I think they were favored in this game. So, and he did nothing. He just sort of sat around and watched Buddy Hield and Draymond Green give them a big lead.
The first half, though, but he ended up shooting 50% from the field despite missing his first seven of eight shots.
They definitely didn't need Steph to get out of that game. I don't think the Rockets could have played an extra quarter and not gotten over 100 points. The Rockets clearly were a flawed team. Their offense is not developed yet. Give this Rockets team two or three years, then watch out. But right now, they're way too young. Steph Curry doesn't even compare to LeBron James post-35. LeBron James is going so far ahead of everybody else in NBA history from 35 on that I don't think anyone's ever going to catch him. And Steph might be good, but LeBron is rewriting the record book in a way that it will never be touched. Nobody's ever going to have the amount of triple-doubles he has at 40-plus. Nobody's ever going to have as many points as he has. It is insane what LeBron is doing. We can't lose sight of that.
I know, but you always say in the LeBron-Jordan debates that you think he's more of a compiler. Who talks about longevity? I mean, and here's the thing, though, about what Steph is doing right now, which is I would believe that Steph Curry could be the focal point, the best player on a championship team, where I don't know if we know that about LeBron anymore. Can LeBron be the best person in a game? Totally. Can he be the best person maybe in a series? But there's a reason why LeBron recruited Anthony Davis, and there's a reason why LeBron now we think will thrive with Luka, and we've got some quotes from LeBron that we'll get to you in just a moment about his future with Luka. But the idea that LeBron is going to be the best player on the Lakers and they'll get to a title, I don't even think a lot of people believe that anymore. If I told you Steph Curry could be the best player on a team that wins a title, I think it's more believable.
Would you have said that 3 weeks ago coming into the playoffs?
Well, the Jimmy Butler trade certainly changed things.
No, I mean, would you have said that 3 weeks ago headed in the playoffs?
I said that the Warriors were going to the Western Conference Finals. So, yes, I did say that. I didn't say win, but I said Western Conference Finals, which is pretty going pretty far.
I might regret this. I don't think Steph Curry is good enough to be the best player on a championship team right now.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, I think that we've seen his ability to close games. It's unbelievable. And, you know,
I don't think the Warriors have continued to
build their team around him, whereas it feels like the Lakers are trying to find, like, who can be, you know, the guy who can help LeBron shoulder the load.
Yeah, I don't see them getting past OKC. And then they'd have to beat the Celtics. That's a huge lift for Steph Curry. I don't think he can do it. Now, again, I could be dead wrong and I could regret this. I just don't think he could be the best player on a championship team anymore. Listen, they did it in 2021-22. I think this field is way tougher, and I think he's a little bit diminished, maybe 5 to 10%. I think the team, you know, Draymond doesn't seem to age either, but at a certain point, I just think that there's too many flaws with this team. How do they handle a really, really big team too? Now, Houston has Sengun, and they were using Adams a lot. We'll see. I'm curious how this matchup is so interesting, because I think they have the same problem as the Lakers. They really don't have a center. So I think
they've won titles before without a traditional center.
I know, but you saw last night the Rockets were like, oh, we're going to pound the ball down low with Sengun. And Sengun's not quite as good as some of the big guys he's going to be facing later in the playoffs. So, no, I don't think Steph Curry is good enough to win a title right now.
888-710-4ISN. We asked you on social media, on Twitter. Maggie and Pearl is where you can go. Who has had a better post-age 35 NBA career, LeBron James or Steph Curry? Is 68% of you are still saying Curry? The public is with Curry. Now, is this a little recency bias that LeBron got bounced in the first round in a very disappointing way, and Curry's still playing? Maybe, but I also think it's something you've talked about a lot, Pearl. LeBron's game is aging well, which is like unbelievable because he plays this above the rim game a lot.
Right.
Curry's game ages even better. So Curry's about 4 years younger than LeBron James, but why can't he keep this up? You know, the shot never leaves you, right? That's what guys will say. Shooters will always be able to shoot. It's the other stuff that goes away.
Yeah, I mean, here's the issue. Can you rebuild the team around him fast enough to match him? And I just don't think am I missing something? I just don't think this Warriors team is quite good enough. Are they on par with OKC, which just has this army of wing defenders coming at you? And they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's at the absolute peak of his game, compared to Steph, who is probably a step below the peak of his game.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Well, I'd just be shocked if they did. Jokic. I mean,
Maybe Jokic knocks off the Thunder. That would help Steph a lot. And even then, the Golden State would have a major size issue with Denver. No. But Denver has no depth. Yeah, I think that's the Warriors' best chance. And you don't agree with this, but NBA's playoffs are so matchup dependent because there's so much parity right now. So I think Golden State has to avoid OKC and hope Denver wins the series.
Again, you can go to @MaggieandPearl and vote who's had a better post-age 35 NBA career. Derek is in Baltimore. Derek, you going with LeBron or Steph with this question?
Now, y'all talking about right now, it's LeBron. If not close. The public got it all wrong. It is LeBron. Listen, what this man is doing, not only that, what this man is expected to do, 26 points per game, 6-7 rebounds and assists per game, that's never going to be done at 40. Never. It might not even be done at 38, 39. Steph, great shooter, can't take that away from him. But 35 and above, it's not even close. It's LeBron hands down. And the people are just tired of LeBron. You know, they just, for whatever reason, they find reasons not to like LeBron. But it's LeBron. It's LeBron hands down.
I know, but Derek, don't you think that Steph Curry doesn't get nearly the amount of blowback and, you know, haters as LeBron? But, I mean, it's not like Steph's new around here. This is why we're having this discussion. He's 37 years old.
Right. Here's another thing that makes it even more impressive with LeBron. He played 7 years even before Steph came into the league. So you add that on, and plus the playoff games, the minutes.
Right.
So what he's doing now, he's not load management like some of these previous superstars used to do. You know, the first month of the season, LeBron is, you know, these guys will be sitting out 5, 6, 7 years. LeBron is doing none of that.
Well, LeBron takes a little post-All-Star break recently, but I'm not.
Well, you know,
I don't fault him for it. I don't fault him.
Right, as he should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not 30, he's not 25 anymore. But what that man is still doing, and he has to be the best player on his team. It's not going to be Luka. Luka plays no defense, attempts to play no defense. At least LeBron, he gives you everything. The rebounds, the assists. He tries to still play defense. It might not be what it once was, but he's not a defensive liability. So it's LeBron. Oh, and before I go,
the
Aaron Rodgers thing. Listen, y'all know Aaron Rodgers, the media. You know good and well what that was. He's not married. That man just wanted some attention. That dude does. Listen to me. Y'all know he will never, ever, he will never not do anything to garner attention. Think about it. He was in a public place. He wasn't by himself. He wasn't walking down the street around the block. He was in a public place full of people. He knew he was going to be there. So what does he say? What can I do to get me some attention? Let me put a ring on my... He could have put that ring on any finger. But let me put it on the middle finger, just like the beach thing. Let me walk on the beach and make it look like I'm thinking in deep thought. This man is a diva, an attention seeker. That man isn't married. That guy was all attention.
Derek, nothing gets by you, man. That is awesome call. Thank you for making it very funny. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers was at the Kentucky Derby, and he was wearing a ring on his wedding ring finger. And we thought, geez, did he secretly get married to Britney with an I? Because to be fair, that would be out of character. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have like a very well-known wedding when he does get married. I think it's going to be, you know.
I said, you don't know me.
All of his teammates will be there.
You don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
I could see a ayahuasca-themed elopement.
You have to take some before the ceremony. Yeah. But anyway, then Barry from South Jersey called in and said, no, he was wearing a smart ring, which is something that people could wear to track their heart rate and their vitals. But that's a good point by Derek. Good counterpoint. First of all, you're not working out at the Kentucky Derby. Do you really have to be monitoring your heart? Do you have to be tracking your steps? You're standing around at a party mostly.
Serendipitous.
Right? You could have taken it off, or you could have put it on a different finger.
I don't know. I don't want to think about this anymore. Derek's got me realizing that this is, I agree with Derek. It's more Aaron Rodgers wanting attention. I'm not going to fall for it this time. Hey, can I give you a couple numbers on this post 35? Just to tell you where LeBron is historically.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at a list from last year of the best post 35 careers. Karl Malone's number two, averaged 20.8 after 35 to 40. Impressive. Kareem's number three, 18 points per game since then. LeBron's at 26.8 points per game since he turned 35.
Yeah, it blows everyone away.
I mean, come on. And this has nothing to do with the LeBron-Jordan debate, but his longevity, Curry's already trending down in scoring. I think Curry's going to be probably a 22, 23. LeBron is scoring a huge amount of points. I actually don't even know how he's doing it.
Yeah, but I don't want to act like Steph Curry is just like hanging out, you know, 12th man on the bench. He averaged 29.4, so round down. Okay, 29 points. In his age 34 season, 26 points in age 35, and now 25 points this year. There's not a cliff here, dude.
At 35, the year when we're starting this, he was at 26.4.
Yeah.
That's already below the average where LeBron is at 40. I mean, he's starting out below LeBron, and he was at 24.5. There's no way, if you're looking at points, he's not going to be in the same league as LeBron. And I don't think it's a guarantee that he gets more playoff success because LeBron won his at 35. Steph was 34. I know you guys don't count the bubble as much, but still, I don't know. I don't see the path is that obvious to get the greatest late career. And here's the other question. Curry catch if he's so great post 35, is he going to catch LeBron on the all-time list?
Listen, I think there's some people who are ready for it. They're ready to put him there. And, you know, I don't love some of the arguments for it. Like, oh, he never left a team and he's, you know, stayed in one place his whole career. Like, he gets extra credit for that. When Kevin Durant came when they were a 73-win team, they both played on super teams. The geography to that doesn't, to me, doesn't really matter so much.
What about the argument? You don't never had to hide LeBron on defense where you hide Steph.
I can understand that. Listen, I'm not somebody who said Steph has passed him yet. I'm just saying this post 35 career, this is something where I think Steph is really going to shine. And I'm not taking away from LeBron. He has defied what aging means in professional sports almost as much as Tom Brady.
The Warriors were a below 500 team until the Jimmy Butler. I believe they're below 500. They were a play-in team. It's not like he is lighting the world on fire post 35.
Well, LeBron's been a playoff team post 35.
I'm just saying that, Greg, Curry has not distinguished himself yet. He might in this playoffs. Post 35, he's really achieved nothing of significance yet.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So got that for you. Who's had the better post 35 career so far? We also have the Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott locker rearrangement. Now, according to Brian Schottenheimer, they are going to have their lockers right next to each other, bro. So they can chit-chat about, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if those guys have a ton in common. There's about an eight-year age difference.
No, just why? Why did Brian Schottenheimer think this was a necessary move right now? And we do have quotes from LeBron James, jumping around a little bit, but back to basketball. Quotes from LeBron James about Luka Doncic. New quotes that have come out about what the offseason may look like. We'll get that to you next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I had an against-the-grain thought last night.
Should we hit the music, or...?
No, I was actually thinking about the future of the NBA and this big trade from Dallas to LA of Luka Doncic. You know what team could use a Luka Doncic? Houston Rockets. That was like, oh man, you should put Luka on Houston with Amen Thompson. Then I want to see this because the topic of Luka's future was a big thing this weekend. I just don't know that there's anything happening there in LA. I look at the Lakers' future and it seems very, very hard for me to squint and see them build a champion. I don't know how they do it. I like your idea that superstars always fall in their laps, but I honestly think at some point, maybe Luka looks elsewhere, because I'm not sure this is the spot for him.
I know, but this is, how could this be the time to be pessimistic about the Lakers? You just got this like all-time gift. Now it's going to be like, well, I don't know if they can build a team around it. It's like, well, how about you get a head start? How about that? You got Luka Doncic that had to give up one first-round draft pick for him. Like, that doesn't exist, right? It was one? It's insane. You got Luka. You got to keep Austin Reeves, which is touted as a good thing.
You give up Max Christie, Max Baggy.
I know.
And Max Christie, who is supposed to be this great defensive analytics guy.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis, obviously. And so you got someone to unload your veteran who has not been able to really show that they can stay healthy, not nearly as much as you need to. But the quotes from LeBron James to ESPN this weekend, I thought were interesting, noteworthy. Not going to be trying to recruit Luka back to Lakers or not convincing him to sign long-term with the Lakers. James, this was a print article. He said, nope, that ain't my job. I know Luka knows how I feel about him. And ultimately that trade happened for the future. That's not for me. Luka has to decide what he has to do with his future. He's 26 years old. I'm 40. So he can't be basing his career off me. That's just real. Listen,
okay.
He's totally right. Obviously, yeah. He's 40 and Luka's 26. But LeBron, more often than not, whether it was recruiting guys to come play with him, like Anthony Davis and making that whole thing, or I'm going to say plotting, like conspiring. I mean, this sounds sinister. Getting together with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade to go to Miami. You know, Kevin Love, the trade to get Andrew Wiggins out and Kevin Love in. He has always been somebody, wherever he's been, who's wanted a say in front office things and personnel, the shadow GM, the GM. You know, we clown him sometimes for right. that. For him to go publicly, I'm hands off on this one, guys. This is up to y'all, is not in his nature. Right? So it's noticeable. It's very noticeable.
It does seem like Luka arrived without LeBron's input. And I'm starting to believe that. So LeBron didn't bring him in. And honestly, let me just ask, body language-wise, did you see a bromance there? Because I'm not sure I totally saw it.
I understand anything.
They said nice things about each other, for sure. But I'm not sure that they are Batman and Robin yet.
To be honest, I never noticed anything. I mean, I love doing the body language
thing. But did you remember seeing anything where they seem particularly bonded?
I don't think you have to guess with LeBron. I think he generally kind of lets people know. It can be passive aggressive, I'll give you that. But, you know, as a woman, I kind of speak that language. I think that he lets you know where you stand at all times. I think people think he's not like Michael Jordan in that way, but I think he actually is. He just goes about it in slightly different way.
But
right?
You just said that you don't believe him that, I thought you were saying that you don't believe that he's going to have nothing to do with Luka.
No, I think he's just saying I'm going hands off on this one, and it was noticeable, but I don't think that means ipso facto he and Luka don't have a good relationship. I'm not saying that.
Well,
he's sending a message here to the front office, which is, you guys are doing this without me. And I'm not sure why. I would have more questions about LeBron and the front office of the Lakers than I would about LeBron and Luka.
I just don't think there's any special connection there yet. I mean, obviously, they haven't had a lot of games to play together, so that kind of makes sense. But you saw Jimmy Butler get to Golden State, and they're this Batman and Robin duo. They've been playing up this Batman and Robin thing with him and Steph Curry.
Which is very funny that Buddy Hield said, no, I'm Robin now, and you're the Butler. Alfred, because even your last name's Butler. Good.
I didn't even see that. But I just think that that's obviously a love fest. I just didn't get that vibe with Luka and LeBron, maybe because they lost. Maybe I'm playing the result a little bit here. But I honestly, style-wise, they're very similar players. They don't complement each other. Third of all, LeBron, age-wise, is going to be out of there soon. So how does Luka form a good enough super team to win an NBA title when he's got maybe one more year of effective LeBron? It's a weird fit. I don't think Luka would leave because it is LA and it is the most money, but it is the most money, right? He gets a higher max or?
Yeah, but it's just not as much as Dallas could have given him.
Okay. I still think if you look at Luka and why was Luka crying when he left Dallas? I just honestly don't think that he was dying to get out to LA. And I'm just not sure that this is the perfect marriage right now. So when LeBron said that, I actually thought, oh man, what? Maybe Luka would explore the rest of the NBA. I don't think he will because of the money, but it just doesn't seem like we're going to say, wow, that was one of the great duos in NBA history.
Well, it just might be a little too late.
Yeah, timing-wise. Timing does play a huge role.
But again, I never saw anything about that didn't signify that they weren't united, right? Or that they didn't like playing with each other.
I just didn't see, well, game five, they came out flat. Their body language, both of it was terrible.
Gassed, I know. Tired.
Yeah, Luka had a bad back, but they just didn't seem energized by one another.
Also, we got the LeBron, did he have a knee injury, right?
Oh, of course we did. Of course,
we sprained MCL.
Yeah. Of course we found that out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you guys, I'm not throwing shade.
Of course he had a sprained MCL.
Listen, I'm not throwing shade. He's out there doing, we're asking today, who's had the better post-35 career, LeBron James or Steph Curry? You don't think LeBron's playing through injuries? You're going to,
Well, okay.
Do a side eye on that?
You saw them came out. They came out in game five with no energy at all. And maybe it was injury, maybe it was fatigue. But clearly, mentally, I didn't think they were engaged. I think they were either tight or just disinterested. I mean, they lost. They lost in five games in a series they were favored in.
Yeah, I think they were just so dead tired.
It's also playoff code. You don't blame injuries when you lose. You just, like when he lost in the finals, remember he had that pathetic hand wrap on his hand to show that he had a hurt hand. That's why they lost. Like, come on.
By the way, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have no doubt he had a sprained MCL.
Yeah, I
do believe
too.
That. Yeah. But it's just like LeBron, I think you've used all your excuses. You're 40 anyway.
Clearly you guys have not been paying close enough attention.
Don't the guys on the T-Wolves had injuries? Of course. That's why you don't say it. Because you say, well, the other team is dealing with injuries too. So it's not, everyone's hurt at this point in the season.
It's also a reminder about time. It does matter. LeBron is 40. It's very hard to hold up. We have this fantasy that he's going to be able to do it every year. And he's just not.
Let's get to Bogus. He's got headlines for us on a very busy Monday.
And I've got some breaking news from college football. ESPN says that Michigan's about to self-impose a 2-game suspension on head coach Sharon Moore in connection with the Connor Stallions case. Moore will miss weeks 3 and 4 against Central Michigan and Nebraska, which allows him to work week 2 against his alma mater, Oklahoma.
Wasn't Central Michigan the place where, Connor Stallions was found?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. I'm so confused about all this. Why now?
He's getting ahead of it. Remember the text messages that he deleted?
Why not last year, though?
Because I think
the scandal was 2 years ago. Why would they not hit him?
Because they were doing the investigation into last season. And last season is when we found out that he deleted like 80 text messages on the day that Stallions.
2 seasons ago.
No, last season. I think
season they were doing the investigation, right. But the whole scandal was 2 years ago.
Scandal happened 2 years ago. But you know how college football, these things work. It's always super delayed.
Why did they hit him last year, though, when the team wasn't even in contention? They should have gotten him at like week 9 and brought him back for Ohio State.
So in August of 2024, the NCAA cited Michigan for 11 violations. The school and the association have been working toward a resolution since then. So I don't know. Has any punishment been given out for this?
Yeah,
well, Harbaugh's gone.
Just this, I guess, right?
No, Harbaugh got suspended.
So that was about a Big Ten, though.
So right. Harbaugh got suspended twice the year they won the championship. He got suspended for the recruiting violation. You remember the hamburger thing where he took out a recruit during COVID when he shouldn't have been there, and it was notable because he ordered a hamburger for breakfast, which is a savage move.
What a freak.
And then at the end, he got it was a ban by the Big Ten for the Connor Stallions.
Right, for lying.
Right, this is the NCAA.
Yeah.
I thought you just said Michigan self-imposed.
To placate the NCAA.
Yes, because the NCAA has not resolved this entire investigation. So before the NCAA tells you, here's how we're punishing you, Michigan is doing this.
They're trying to fall on the sword.
Hoping that this is enough.
Right.
They could themselves.
I'm just saying they could have done that last year, obviously. They could have self-imposed and got ahead. Said it was wrapped up by August, or it was...
No, it started, and it has not finished yet.
They didn't start the investigation in Connor Stallions until August 2024.
For Sharon Moore's role in this. Because because I think they had to like find the text messages that got deleted that.
I think you're just missing the timeline. So their investigation starts.
In October of 2023.
In August of 2024 is when the NCAA goes, this is what we're charging you with.
Right.
And then since then... which is only, what is that, August to now is 9 months, you go back and forth, there's evidence, there's counter arguments, and then you get close to being, okay, here's what you're going to agree on the punishment is, so Michigan goes, let's do this now, and maybe they don't give him four games in a couple of weeks.
Right, right. They could have done that last year, too. I'm just saying. Like, well, they could have. It was early in the process, earlier.
Right. They might not have understood where things were going to suspend him last year.
I just think the funny part is you're picking and choosing which games you want to be suspended for, right?
Yes.
So New Mexico is their opener.
Yes.
And then Oklahoma, then they're at Oklahoma, so he definitely wants to be there for that game. But then he'll take off Central Michigan at Nebraska. That's not going
to
be an easy game.
But he went to and worked at Oklahoma, so he wants to work that game.
Right.
And he can't be suspended for week 1 and 3. You would assume.
Do they have to be subsequent?
So I get, listen, there are clearly no rules because he's picking which games.
No, this is insane.
But this is like back-to-back suspension, at least back-to-back weeks looks correct. But he's still picking, and they always do. He's still picking when he's going to be punished.
You're a fan ridiculous.
Of this. You're what a fan if he's of like, this, Pearl.
All right, I'll take off September 13th and November 1st against Purdue.
It's a total joke. You can't go out weeks 3 and 4. That's insane. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, they're playing a harder schedule this year than the Northwest East State that they played with Jim Harbaugh.
Well, he should have definitely taken last year because they were coming off the title team. And I guess they had last year they were not going to win the title again. Like now, like you're kind of hurting yourself.
You guys are three parents over there. Would you guys ever accept a self-imposed punishment from your kids?
No. Picking the dates? Of course not. But this is like,
I'll stay in on Tuesday and Wednesday if you let me go out Friday and Saturday.
It's a little like an MLB, where the MLB suspends starting pitchers. They have to add to it because they know that they're on a rotation. It's so stupid.
Oh, a 6-game suspension for a pitcher?
Right.
Yeah.
College basketball coaches always miss non-conference games. They're never suspended for league games.
What was it? The Texas A&M suspended Johnny Manziel for the first half of a game that they were going to kill somebody in? No.
Against an FCS school?
Yeah. I can't remember the exact details, but like, we're really going to send a message. You are out against Troy State.
Remember James Winston tried to just get away from his suspension at Florida State? They were playing Clemson, which ironically I think was Deshaun Watson's first ever start or Clemson, or first game he played. And he just showed up in his uniform he was going to play.
He's warming up.
My middle name is Leonard.
Jimbo Fisher's like, bro, take off the pads. You're not playing.
Leonard. Just stole all these crab legs from Publix. Like, we got to sit you.
Sorry, Manziel was against Rice that they suspended for half a game. The Rice
platypus is a platypus.
By the way, Jameis was doing the Tommy DeVito video. I don't know how viral that went over the weekend. You showed it to me first, Pearl.
Gabagoo. Sweet potato.
But that's Tommy Cutlets' thing. He's the one who does the paisano hand gesture. You can't take that.
I think it's people know the difference between Jameis doing it and Tommy doing it. But wait, can I get back to one thing we were just talking about? Why did it take till August to investigate Jerome Moore? Everybody knew there was a documentary out by December of that year.
No, again, it did not start in August.
Well,
they were given their indictments.
I understand what you're saying, folks. I'm just saying, we all knew what Jerome Moore did by November of 2023. Michigan could have suspended him the same day Philip Harbaugh was suspended.
I actually don't know when they found out that he deleted texts, because that's what he's getting punished for. I don't know when that happens.
But the case is old. We all kind of knew the deal in Michigan. It's not like that you needed some massive investigation team. That's all I'm saying. It was kind of obvious.
The excuse for Jerome Moore deleting the text messages with Connor Stallions was, I was just so appalled that he would go behind our backs and do this to the University of Michigan. I wanted no more record of him. It's like, all right.
He did not say that. You're making that up. Did he really say that?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah, college football is a joke.
Maybe this was a good sign for the Knicks and Nuggets, who are heavy underdogs in their second round series. The Pacers, not supposed to win Game 1 in Cleveland last night, but they did.
Pacers lead by 3. They leave Nembhard open, and they pay the price out on the far sideline. A 3-ball. Do they not know their personnel?
Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. Cleveland made mistakes. Indy made shots. Andrew Nembhard with one of their 19 threes. He scored a team-high 23. 22 from Tyrese Halliburton. All 5 Pacers starters had at least 13 in this 121-112 win. Buddy Hield had 33 as the Warriors finally closed out the Rockets 103-89 in Game 7 in Houston. Hield didn't score in Game 6, so Steve Kerr was impressed last night.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that was really incredible watching him light it up. in that first half especially, and then down the stretch as well.
Steph Curry threw in 14 fourth quarter points to close out the win, which makes Kerr the first coach to win three road game sevens. Up next, the T-Wolves. That game one is tomorrow. We were just in Green Bay, and it was great. Pittsburgh should be fun next April, and then in 2027, the NFL draft reportedly is in Washington, D.C., on the National Mall near the Washington Monument. The official announcement is expected this afternoon. The Winnipeg Jets tied Game 7 with the Blues with 3 seconds left in regulation, then won it in double overtime on a goal by Adam Lowry. The tying goal was the latest in Game 7 history, and the Jets are now just the fifth team ever to erase a two-goal third-period hole in a Game 7.
Who are you playing Week 8?
Sunday Night Baseball in Atlanta. Damn. The Braves trying to beat the Dodgers for the first time in 6 tries.
1-1 to Riley. And Riley hits another one. Deep to center field. To the wall. Off it goes. His second home run of the game. And he's breathing fire here early on this Sunday night versus the Dodgers. 4-0 Braves.
That's Ben Ingram on Braves Radio. Austin Riley, two-run homers for a 4-3 win over LA. And finally, just stick with me here for a second. Cornell earned the number one seed in the NCAA men's lacrosse tournament yesterday. Okay. The Big Red waiting on the winner of a Siena-UAlbany play-in game. Oh, God. Those Siena Saints won the MAC title game over Sacred Heart on Saturday.
Of course.
That's when this happened on ESPNU.
Sacred Heart to the man up, trailing by two at the beginning of this fourth quarter.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Okay, we apologize for our crowd mic.
Whoops. Somebody found the crowd mic and started talking directly into it during
like
the broadcast.
Broadcaster style.
Oh, so wait, this is not a sideline reporter reporting their stomach issues with Sacred Heart?
No. This isn't a Paul Pierce, someone get the wheelchair?
No, no team flu, no food poisoning the night before.
This,
no.
This reminds me of the time some F1 fan found the mic around the track and just started going, meow, meow, just when the cars were passing by.
Oh my gosh. Was that all we got from the commentary, or was there more?
No, they quickly went into a replay of the penalty that led to that man up situation. But it happened once kind of inaudible, and then the second time she made sure she was going to be obvious.
Wait, that was a woman?
I thought so.
Yeah, it sounded like a woman.
Yeah.
Sacred Heart to the man up, trailing by two at the beginning of this fourth quarter.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Okay, we apologize for our crowd mic.
It's so funny. It's definitely a dude.
A lot of people.
It's definitely a dude.
Oh, I hear a female voice.
I thought it was a woman.
I'm a woman. I'm a three.
Oh, all right.
I think that's a dude with just a funny voice.
A lot of people. He's like on the verge of laughing. The fact that
play it one more time. I heard a woman the whole time.
Sacred Heart to the man up, trailing by two at the beginning of this fourth quarter.
Man.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Okay, we apologize for our crowd mic.
It's the okay. I think that's what's killing me. Okay, that's really, I will turn this car around. All right, guys, knock it off.
Now you're grounded for Wednesdays and Thursdays, yes, but weekends you're free.
It's a Shrove-Moore imposed grounding. It's just Tuesday from 4 to 5. That's funny. A lot of people.
Okay.
Appreciate also getting to some funny words without cursing.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Could have just started dropping F-bombs and been real immature about it, like the people who prank Shador Sanders and pranking some of these draftees, but instead actually try to make something funny out of it.
Yeah, that's real talent. That's
a lot of people saying Shador has diarrhea right now.
Okay.
Did two or three more guys get pranked? Came out this weekend. Another set of guys got pranked. So most of the first round got pranked.
That's crazy.
Somebody called and said, you have diarrhea.
A lot of people saying Abdul Carter's got diarrhea.
We had a guy when I was growing up as a Phillies fan at the vet, there was a crowd mic. There was always a guy behind home plate who always would say something to the effect of, swing batter. Did you guys have that guy growing up?
Swing batter, hey batter, hey batter.
It was pointing at this guy for, I don't know, 30 years. He's always there. He's always saying swing batter or something. I don't remember the exact But crowd
maybe by
mics,
the end, they were like piping it in like the birds or the Masters.
I wonder that. I don't know. You always hear, there seems like one fan at a baseball game whose audio gets on there.
I went to a Mets-Dodgers game, and I'm sitting kind of like in like the Delta section behind home plate. And there was a guy. I was like maybe 30 rows back. There was a guy who must have been like maybe 30. 5 rows back. And this guy was so loud. He sounded like a Little League coach, like bogus coach in Little League, giving the Mets advice. Like, Lindor's at the plate. He's like, choke up on the bat. Choke up on the nothing easy. nothing easy. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Francisco Lindor knows how to handle this.
Okay.
Imagine telling a Major League Baseball player, nothing easy. Choke up on the bat.
Okay. If a regular person was standing in the box, they'd probably have, a lot of people say they'd have diarrhea if they saw 100 mile an hour coming at them. Just saying. Bogish, thank you. That was dynamite.
Okay.
All right.
I like to close strong with diarrhea. See you guys tomorrow.
Awesome mic drop. Coming up, we got a couple things for you. One, a controversy going on with one of those draft picks, Perloff, who did get pranked, and more. It's Maggie Perloff.
A gobble gobble goo.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Round ball rock. Welcome back to Maggie Perloff Show. Back in its rightful place, Pearl, with the NBA back on NBC. Never felt right that they would use this sometimes on college games. Like, welcome to the A-10 tournament.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't
George Washington
fit.
Against Fordham, baby.
Well, we know how that ended.
Did Fox buy this or something? Like, isn't that how it ended up being
FS1,
in all these weird places?
Yeah. Yeah. Fox and FS1 was using it on some of their college tournaments. So, NBA back on NBC, which means John Tesh's masterpiece of round ball rock is back in our lives the way it should be.
NBC also signed Carmelo Anthony this weekend. I think he's going to be good, but I didn't really know. I mean, EJ, you're the Carmelo Anthony fan. Is he going to be a good analyst?
He's a very good podcaster.
Yep.
He's very good at telling stories. He's very good at relating his stories to the players today. I think he'd be really good because I think the NBA is sorely, sorely lacking guys who have played in anything close to today's modern era, talking about the game on the TV partners, right? Like Kenny, Shaq, and, you know, Charles Barkley played in the 90s. You know, Shaq played in the 2000s, but like not anywhere how it is now. And I think a lot of guys on ESPN that they're pushing, even Kendrick Perkins, that's a while ago when he was playing in the NBA. So I think Melo was playing. He just retired. He just tried a couple years ago.
Kendrick Perkins, didn't he play till 2012 or something? You're saying
That's 13 years ago.
Well, Danny Green has been good for them. I mean, they've got some guys.
I mean, I'm talking about the primary guys. Like, you know, Perkins is on the set for NBA, you know, the NBA countdown. He's going to be on set in the NBA finals, like a little bit past their prime. I think getting more current players to talk about the game will actually help the product. And I think it will help fans to understand what the hell's going on.
You know, the one thing I just hope for NBC is I hope they don't stick Melo in like a really sterile studio environment.
Yeah, good point.
You know, his podcast is more of a lean back kind of thing, and it's hard to replicate that on TV. Like, we're a radio show. We have a podcast and you can download it. It's awesome. Maggie and Perloff Pod. But like, it's a different assignment, you know, for doing a podcast versus live radio or television.
Well, I think also, too, who the analysts are is really not a huge factor in how this product's going to do on NBA. I think the state of the league is, does LeBron get to the finals? Things like that are, like, ultimately, people are tuning in for the game. I mean, in the 90s, when it was at its peak, it definitely wasn't because of the analysts. I know you had Casas.
Yeah.
But it was, Casas and Doug Collins.
Yeah, Bill Walton. That was a big deal.
No, it wasn't. For Jordan? You watched Jordan because you had to watch Jordan. I think it was Collins and Bill Walton. It was also Doug Collins.
Bill Walton and Snapper Jones, they were an iconic duo.
Bill Walton and Snapper Jones? That's not why we're watching Michael Jordan.
but you're moving it to watching Michael Jordan. Of course we were just going to watch Michael Jordan. I'm saying, though, that definitely added an element to the broadcast.
I don't think so. I think it's really the save of the league. I don't think that anyone's going to watch NBC because of Jamal Crawford or Carmelo Anthony. I think you need the league to be in a really healthy place and the right players. I think the big issue is once LeBron retires, how are you going to get eyeballs there?
Well, as far as like the nuts and bolts of whether a studio show is going to work, it's about chemistry, you know, and being able to, you know, have good chemistry. Like Dirk Nowitzki is going to be doing Amazon. Who do they put him with? Is Dirk going to be able to gel with Taylor Rooks or whoever it is? Are they going to be able to like find this good mix? The same thing with Melo, you know, who else is going to be on the set? The reason why Inside the NBA works, Charles is great on his own. Kenny's great on his own. Shaq's great on his own. EJ is amazing. But them together is what makes it. What's that?
I said I am amazing.
Yeah. We say that every day.
I'm going to disagree a little bit on that. I mean,
any show can suck. You need chemistry.
Charles. You just need Charles. If you pull Charles questions out of that mix, does that even matter?
Well, Charles is such a unique.
Yeah, I feel like Charles makes things work. You know, and I agree, the chemistry is amazing.
Yeah, but Charles and Gail King didn't work. You know, like, it doesn't always lead to, you know, the Charles and Gail King had, like, a show on CNN.
What? Really? I had no idea.
Exactly.
Why don't you, fool?
But
any show can suck. It's just that they found this really great chemistry. And, yeah, Charles is, like, one of one.
Charles on March Madness hasn't been great.
No, he's not. He doesn't barely seems like he's watching college basketball. But let me ask you this, EJ. You always say Inside the NBA is bad for the NBA because they're critical, although it is the most popular show.
Not necessarily
show.
Why I say it's bad, but okay.
Who said that? Who is the guy who came out?
I say it's bad, but it's not because they're critical. I think it's because they don't really know what they're talking about half the time. And they welcome that.
Was it LeBron who came out and said all the NBA analysts are too negative and that's hurting the league?
Yeah, they should be trying to promote the league more.
Yeah, I think that I don't think the analysts really make the ratings. I think it's the product. I mean, ESPN has learned that the hard way over the years because what the most valuable thing in sports is the rights to show the games. You should be paying the analysts $40 million. But regardless, I see what you're saying. NBC is an interesting experiment. They paid a lot of money for this. I'm really curious. Can they recapture the round ball rock era? Will that music ever mean the same thing?
I mean, you got to just go full all in, right? Got to bring back NBA Inside Stuff, which I know got rebooted already once with Grant Hill, I think, and Kristen Ledlow, who stepped away. But I think you got to go back to the NBA Inside Stuff. We need the 1 o'clock tip offs. I don't know if they're going to do that.
Here's the bigger issue, too. The media landscape is so different. Nobody under 30 has TV anymore. This is a totally different world than 1998.
Which is maybe a reason why you need stars as your analysts a little bit more to get a little more attention. Like when something that Chuck says goes viral, you know, last night he's halftime of the Rockets game. Just like all these losers got to get in the gym and learn how to shoot. And it's entertaining. So maybe now more than ever, you need strong voices like Melo coming out and saying something controversial would certainly help them. I don't know if he's going to do that.
He did say Anthony Edwards wasn't a superstar. I remember Anthony Edwards made a whole commercial about it. And that was, you know, I think Melo will say stuff.
Yeah.
I think Mel is in the mix, but I don't think he's going to be that over-the-top guy like Charles.
But I don't think he needs to be. Yeah. I don't think people want that. I think I'm telling you, I think we're talking about is the difference between critical and being personal. I think people are tired of the personal stuff. I think the Gilbert Arenas said when he did his audition with NBC, that's what they told him.
Yeah, but NBC, for example, Football Night America, tends to be a little non-critical, I would say, and people don't love that. Like, I think, you know, it gets good ratings because that game is huge, but right. Nobody's like, oh, man, do you remember what they said there? I think that I bet you NBC goes a little bit, like ESPN, a little bit non-critical.
You know, good segue there to another story we wanted to hit quickly, and I say Football Night America because Chris Sims is on Football Night America, and his father, Phil, was in the news this weekend. Of course, legendary New York Giants quarterback and also broadcaster, because Abdul Carter already got stonewalled by Lawrence Taylor because Lawrence said he wasn't going to give him number 56, which I don't know why you'd want to walk into the NFL with those kind of expectations, but kudos to the young man for having a lot of confidence. So then he was talking about 11, because obviously that's the famous number for Penn State football that gets passed down. But Phil Sims has that number, which is also retired. Phil originally said yes, he could have it, then said over the weekend after speaking with his family, they convinced him to not give up the number.
That's a shame.
I just wonder, how did anyone talk him out of it? Like, doesn't Phil just get to say, listen, I don't care, I'm going to give him my number. End of story?
How about he just picks a different number?
Well, he
end
could
of story.
Pick a different
like,
number.
What? What are we doing here?
Is he already a pain in your ass?
Oh, kind of. Like, who cares?
He'll be worth it. He'll be worth it.
Pick 55. Pick 57. Pick 10. I don't care. Who cares? Just go out there and get 5 sacks for me, please.
Well, you can't pick 10.
I don't want doubt. Yeah, that's a very valid point.
Someone named Eli Manning.
Yeah.
But sure.
Hey, what? Oh, that's Eli?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 2 times.
I mean, 56 is the one, right?
Well, I mean, but it's retired. And again, you don't want to set yourself. You don't walk in, oh, I'm going to be, you know, just as good as Lawrence Taylor. That's the best football player that's ever lived on defense. Just pick your own number, bro, please. Enough with this.
I just can't believe Phil's family was able to talk him out of it. I don't know. I was surprised by that. Phil seems like he's pretty stuck to his ways and sticks to his guns. Big fan of the show. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, weirdos and coffee drinkers, you know who you are. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Come on, man.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.